In the Ring with Eusebius Makaiser. Eusebius Makaiser.
My goodness. So today is Thursday and there were many disruptions in our national parliament. President Cyril Ramaphosa delivered the presidency budget vote speech, or attempted to. It was meant to start around 2 o'clock or thereabouts, and consistently for about an hour or so, there were just absolutely chaotic points of order being raised, non-points of order, the speaker having her hands full and some of the other staff as well that sometimes take the baton when the national speaker takes a break. And I'm not sure they handled it necessarily as well as they should, but it's got to be said that EFF are the main culprits in terms of unruly behavior today. And it raises a question about their behavior, whether it is legitimate or whether it is an abuse of their position in parliament. And at any rate, abuse or not, what is the political thinking behind it? And so for the next couple of minutes, I think we should talk about the EFF, and I'm going to give you some material with which to play around the water cooler, over lunch, over dinner, perhaps mulling over this while you are driving in the traffic, wherever and whenever you are listening to this edition of In the Ring with Eusebius Makaiser. If you missed it, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said about the president, and it's ironic, isn't it? Because the president is in trouble at the moment for good reason in relation to Farmgate. But here we are, and instead of framing a debate about the presidency and the president's actual budget and his speech and his weaknesses as a leader and the weaknesses of the ANC government, here we are framing a discussion about EFF. And that alone, in my opinion, is an indication that it's not quite clear that the EFF is succeeding in what they're trying to achieve. But I want to give you a taste of what went down in Parliament today. And I've got to warn you, you better have some Disprin or Panado or Grandpa handy, because you will have a headache when I start playing excerpts from what went down in Parliament today. I mean, it's absolute chaos. Now, I mean, there's not much point in me playing that particular clip further. You know, when EFF started with these antics the first time they got into parliament, they made Channel 408 exciting. And it, yes, sure, was pantomime, but there was also the inadvertent consequence that more people suddenly engaged in parliamentary processes and watched what was going on, sometimes late into the night. And there was something about the fifth parliament in particular that was better than the previous parliaments. And I used to have, and still do, many friendly fights with other political analysts and friends of mine that I think sometimes underappreciate the overall contribution of EFF thus far to our democracy. But there was something today that made me realize they're a bit of a one-trick pony. They think that shouting and being boorish and speaking at the same time and being contrarian and challenging rules for their own sake and abusing particular rules, rather than actually in a bona fide manner appealing to a rule on which basis they are standing up, that actually this trick starts looking a little bit unentertaining, divisive, disruptive, and anti-democratic when you abuse it rather than using it in the proper manner. And to have an hour of disruption is, quite frankly, at best childish and at worst undermining the constitutional duty that you have as MPs to hold the president accountable. Because actually, by not giving an opportunity to speak and then engaging the content of his speech, funny enough, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. which is to let him speak and then to rationally engage his shortcomings and to denude him and show off to the country where the factual, logical, political, and moral errors are in what he had to say and what he did not have to say. So that's the irony of it all. I mean, it really is absolutely astounding. But this is how they continued the whole time.
I have warned you, will you please desist from this behavior? Now, Honorable Ndlovu, I've requested you to withdraw.
Honorable Speaker, I can, on the visual platform, the Deputy President of the EFF wants to speak.
And you are not going to order.
And, you know, I was thinking to myself, of course I've got views about our national speaker. But in this instance, she's wearing her hat as a presiding officer. In fact, she went so far as to say to a minister in the presidency, effectively, don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to throw people out just in jail. I'm going to apply the letter, not even the spirit, the letter of the rules so that no one can accuse me of not having given them due opportunity to behave when I've asked them to behave. And I think she was right. And she was saying that to one of her ANC colleagues. She is a presiding officer. And I watched that and I thought to myself, even with my penchant for debate, having chaired many debates when I have been in debate competitions, an adjudicator or chairing debating events as an MC in my career within the media, I sometimes have to be an MC or a moderator. Even if you paid me 3 million rand, I wouldn't want to be the Speaker of Parliament because there is a significant minority of MPs that are not interested in genuinely playing by the rules. And I'm not saying you can't be spirited. I love the fact that the EFF MPs initially, when they started in the parliamentary journey that they embarked on once they had formed a party, had woken us all up from our slumber so that the ANC old age pensioners in the backbench suddenly had to wake up from simply being their bums on seats and had to work even harder to please their bosses at Luthuli House. I love that. But it seems to me as if they've almost hit something of a near ceiling electorally. And instead of rethinking the strategy and tools in their toolkit, they are now just doubling down on the aggression and the disruption. And I'm not so sure and I'm not convinced that that is necessarily smart. Besides, as I've said, it, ironically enough, probably disallowing them from doing that, from doing what MPs are meant to be doing, which is to listen to the executive and then hold them to account. You can't hold someone to account if they don't give an opportunity to misstep. Give them the opportunity to misstep in silence on your part, and then you deconstruct what they had to say, one would have thought. But that's not quite what they did. And I mean, you know, one of them who got ejected, Natasha Tlangwini, was then interviewed outside Parliament. And you can hear the sort of adversarial war speak as if we are talking here about genuine clashes between peoples in the run-up to 1994 as opposed to political discourse inside a democratic parliament. I mean, it's just uncanny to take the moral high ground without any sense of irony that the kind of language that you're using and the attitude you are displaying simply reveals a flagrant misunderstanding of the whole point of parliament, debate, and being an MP.
So they will use violence, they will use force. We are known to that, and we're not scared. We knew that they want to try and attempt to use violence against us. And we are not scared. We're going to come for them. We are 44 members of parliament. There will be no rest for Cyril in this house. He must know his life is going to become uncomfortable because we can't use this honorable house to cover up his money laundering activities.
Why is the rest of the caucus not here?
Now, let's just listen again to what she had to say and now put on your hat as a logician and listen to every sentence, every claim she's making, And I want you to simultaneously think about, even at a casual level, you don't have to run to your constitution, your intuitive understanding of what Parliament is about and what the role of an MP is about.
So they will use violence, they will use force. We are known to that, and we're not scared. We knew that they want to try and attempt to use violence against us. And we are not scared. We're going to come for them. We are 44 members of Parliament. There will be no rest for Cyril in this house. He must know his life is going to become uncomfortable because we can't use this honorable house to cover up his money laundering activities.
Why is the rest of the caucus not?
We're not scared. We're going to come for them. There's going to be no rest for Cyril. That is the kind of talk that you engage in when you are in a physical brawl, when there is ganglands warfare going on. That is not what Parliament is there for. She's also disingenuous about the sequence of events. The presiding officers, and I hold no brief for the ANC, including for their presiding officers. But the presiding officer and officers were actually very generous. They even pissed off their ANC comrades, rightly so, because once you become the speaker, you should be impartial. By not, in the first instance, calling the sergeant at arms or the protection service, but actually, time and again, asking EFF members to comply with the rules and the attenuant decorum expected of MPs. And so when she says we knew they're going to use violence, you are gaslighting the presiding officer because you are making it seem as if there was a plan to use violence. They were not, in fact, violently ejected. They were asked to leave. They did not leave. And of course, you have to be physically removed. But being physically removed after you refuse to leave the chamber when there is a legal acceptability in terms of the power of the presiding officer for you to comply with the order to leave doesn't mean that you've now suddenly been violently ejected. What else must happen? The entire authority of the presiding officer is undercut and therefore that of Parliament if an MP does not comply with a request to leave the chamber. And so to make it seem as if this is a mini version of Marikana, where they're coming with their batons and with their rifles after you, the EFF, I mean, it's also just quite frankly arrogant to imagine that you are so larger than life and so important in our democracy, that you are singled out singularly as an opposition party for state violence. It's not true. And there's a lot to be said for this government's absolute appalling record when it comes to continuities with pre-1994 apartheid era, top-down state use of violence. We've seen it against social movements like Abashlali. We've seen it at Marikana. We've seen it at the beginning and during lockdown, going into people's yards and using unlawful force against citizens. So again, I am absolutely not here to defend an ANC-led state. The ANC is useless and does not deserve any more political power. It does not follow from that how EFF MPs behave today in Parliament is acceptable. It was both unlawful but also unstrategic. Let the man speak and then logically deconstruct what he had to say. And, I mean, there were so many moments. It's difficult to pick which was probably the low point of it all. But it must have been one MP who was one of the last remaining EFF MPs. I don't know whether she got an SMS or WhatsApp from those who had been muted virtually, but who suddenly, in the middle of the president's speech, after matters had now basically returned to what should have happened from the beginning, suddenly decided that she wanted to have a go at also, you know, riling up the presiding officers and interrupting the president from delivering his speech.
Will you please? And we're not going to be addressed by a criminal. We're not going to be addressed by a money launderer. We're not going to be addressed by a please withdraw that.
And I'm not leaving.
Please withdraw that, Honorable Member.
What am I going to do? I'm not leaving.
Thank you very much. Sergeant in Arms, will you please remove the member from the House?
I mute our members first. I saw the Guapo Apa. When rulers are from the air, Kobu Kota for Nukota for what? Sergeant Arms for what? Are they members of Parliament, those are Sergeant Arms? No, I can't leave the chamber before they unmute our members in the platform. We are attending.
Thank you very much.
We are attending here. This is our parliament, not for Sergeant Arms. This one is ours.
Okay. I have given you a further opportunity.
There's no opportunity like this. This one is not an opportunity. Give me a real opportunity.
Assisted by the sergeant.
This one is not an opportunity that you are giving me.
As this conduct is now directly impeding the ability of the House to conduct its business,
you must first call the sergeant and to take out the criminal first outside. The money launderer must be taken by the sergeant and out.
Now, I'm sorry, but that is disgusting behavior on the part of that EFF MP. I'm sorry. It totally is. And I don't give a damn how many EFF bots come after me. I don't care how many ad hominem tweets their leaders will direct my way. That is simply not acceptable. And I say that as someone who actually, and the EFF doesn't acknowledge this, not that I give a damn, because my job as an analyst is to say it as I see it. But I'm actually one of the very few analysts who often defend the EFF against my peers, especially my slightly older peers, if I can be ageist about it, who I think are more conservative in their expectations of what the behavior of MPs and parties should be in political institutions and fora like Parliament. I don't mind a little bit of hiss. I don't mind a little bit of noise or even a lot of noise. Payback the money being chanted in Parliament was critical to helping to get rid of President Jacob Zuma. And also, the EFF, sometimes when they choose to, have a sophisticated combination of tactics. They will use classic democratic processes like committees in Parliament to do the oversight work. They will also use legal activism and have won some critically important cases that we will come back to time and time again in terms of our country's jurisprudence that have entrenched the principles of accountability and the rule of law being the foundation of our democracy. And that's again why when many analysts think of them as not a bona fide political party, some characterizing them as fascist or proto-fascist or fascistic in their tendencies, I push back against that because I think it's too strong. It does not follow that I can't criticize them on particular occasions where I think they're being thuggish at worst and at best untactical, even if they are within the rules. On this occasion, they're abusing parliamentary privilege. Patricia de Lille could stand up and talk about the arms deal, and Andrew Feinstein can speak out in Scopa against the arms deal and with his conscience when Luthuliao tried to muzzle him, then left Parliament. So there's enough room within the rules of Parliament to allow you to be able to get away with what Floyd Chivambu correctly described as political speech, except he was misapplying it today because the statements about the president being a criminal, a money launderer, are not yet proven. The president has a case to answer. He's messed up in the last 7 days or so in terms of political communication. And again, I myself have written on timeslive.co.za an open letter, Dear President Ramaphosa, in which I challenge the president to not hide behind the sub judice rule, which is abused by politicians routinely, because nothing stops you in law from answering questions about a matter that is being investigated. And there's some basic questions he hasn't answered. So yes, he can be criticized. But to shout up nauseam for an hour, he's a criminal, he's a money launderer, he must be taken out, tell Sergeant at Arms to remove him. What the hell are you trying to achieve tactically? Let's set aside whether you have the right in terms of parliamentary privilege to make those kind of statements without consequence inside parliament. Tactically, what are you trying to achieve? I don't understand what you're trying to do. The most you will achieve tactically is to fire up a small part of your base. But we've seen from the last two elections, national and local, as with the DA, if you only make your base happy, you're not going to grow. You want to maintain the loyalty so that your base continues to turn out at elections, but you also want to appeal to those people who are hutful with the ANC but undecided about whether to vote for another party or to simply become completely disengaged with politics. And I cannot imagine that the average person who's hutful with the ANC would watch the antics today and go, that is the party I want to vote for. I can't see how that will be the case. The only people that will be happy are the ones that are already so in love with you as a brand that they were going to vote for you anyway. So from a tactical point of view, you have achieved nothing. From a constitutionalism point of view, you've also achieved nothing, because by leaving parliament, you then deny yourself the opportunity to actually then engage the content of what he says. For example, the way in which the DA does. And again, I'm not supporting the DA. I criticize the DA very often in terms of the content of their politics from an ideological point of view. But many of their MPs prefer to be quiet when the president speaks, and then have a go at flourishing oratorically when it's their turn to deconstruct the content of what he had to say. And that is the way to do it. It's not the only way to do it. There is room for upsetting the rules that silently say you must be quiet and behave and wear a suit rather than a helmet and an overall. I'm all for decolonizing what we have imported from England in terms of ideas of decency and decorum and methodology. It doesn't mean that every single disruption makes sense. Today didn't make sense. And pardon my French coming up, today the EFF simply fucked up in parliament.